Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World of Ink Network, founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Cook. Their vision was to start a radio show that helped writers reach their dreams. The World of Ink has a wonderful group of hosts who are dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows, bringing not only entertaining shows, but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Hi, everybody. It's Marcia Cook, and we've got a great show tonight. It's A Good Story is a Good Story, a special World of Ink show. I don't know if Virginia may come in tonight, the partner of World of Ink, but she may not. So that was after my last show with Gerard. We talked about that, and Virginia will possibly be joining some of the shows. She's going to be doing more of the background, but I'm here, as usual, and I'm going to tell you, let's see, I have a couple things to say. We have next week, we have, I better say them now because I'll forget them, Jack Remick is going to be on our show, and he's been on many times. Virginia will be on the show with me. It's an afternoon show, and it's 1 o'clock Mountain Time, 2 o'clock Central, 3 o'clock Eastern, and it's noon for Jack, because that's in Pacific time. So I am moving around a little the times. You can always hear us live if you want or on demand, because sometimes I go by what the guest might like, because sometimes it's too hard for them to come on at night or sometimes during the day. So I've been switching around, but you can always hear our shows. And any of our shows are on www.worldofinknetwork.com or on Blog Talk Radio. There are a lot of shows. I've had it myself probably over 600. So we talk about a lot of different things, and tonight we have a really good show. I was here one night a few weeks ago. I was up as usual, which we all know that I'm up forever, and I was listening to the radio on Blog Talk, and I heard Mike Pettit on another show, which is Journey into the Night, Deadly Reads Radio. And I kept listening, and then I said, I have to have him on because he really does know a lot about writing, and he writes series, and he has great audiobooks. He's got so much information that I'm not going to talk to him. I'm going to bring him on because he really is very interesting. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Marcia. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. You want to just, before we begin, just tell everybody a little bit about you and you are successful. Talk about that. I know it's hard for you to say you're successful, but you are successful. And, you know, you have a lot of, you did a great job branding yourself. And so tell everybody a little bit about yourself, then we'll get into more of the things that you did to help yourself out there.
Okay, sure. You know, the first thing I want to say is I'm so glad I don't live in Chicago. What is it, like 17 degrees right now? Oh, my gosh. I mean,
it's really cold. I know. It is. It's like one. It was like seven below. It was like seven below yesterday.
Crazy.
It's weird because I saw the news and they said what the weather is. Like, it's not that cold. You know, it's not going to be that bad. As soon as you walk out, you go like, yes, it is that bad. You know, but we should be used to it. But nobody ever gets used to like 20 below wind chill.
You know, I tell you, I live in Gulf Breeze, Florida, and I'm so glad that I live in Florida. You know, the cool part about where I live, it's right in the middle of the Redneck Riviera. If you've never been to Panama City or Pensacola, you've got to spend spring break at the Redneck Riviera. it is an experience.
Okay.
There's a million stories to be told.
And you're telling them.
I am. I do. I really do. I pick up a lot of material. But
Even in your audiobooks. even in your audiobooks, I feel like because I've talked to you and I've heard you on the radio, when, you know, the when you're listening to your audiobooks, I feel like I'm listening to you even though it's not you. That's how real your audiobooks sound. I mean, your stories sound just like you'd be talking. I mean, and that's really an art in that.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I think on the audiobooks, I've got, I don't know how many, a dozen maybe, audiobooks, and the narrator that I have, I'm really blessed.
Great.
I've got this guy that is well known, not to us in the U.S., but to Europe, because he's on Radio
great.
Free America. Yeah,
he's really good.
But he's just reading my words. So, yeah, we're a good team. But
a very good team.
Absolutely. You know, we just jive together. We just really go together.
Get so many fans. You have a lot of fans. And even when you were, we've talked about this once before, you were in Facebook jail. You had people, I put your name in, and all of a sudden other people are talking for you. So you have loyal fans and people.
Yeah.
It really missed you.
Well,
that's,
you know,
really
that's
hard to get.
Part of the, it is because this is the way I look at what I do. I am an author. I'm an indie author. I'm an independent author, which means that I have to create the books, write them, then I've got to market them. I've got to be all things to all people in my audience. So, you know, one of the things I did is early on when I started writing is I tried to, they, you know, they say to write what you know, and I've been lucky enough in my career that I know a lot about different things like crime and bad guys and good guys.
Yeah.
And so I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a good guy. You know, I'm not. although when I was going to college, I was going to Sam Houston State College up in Huntsville, Texas, and that's where the prison is for the state of Texas. And believe it or not, I was a guard on a cell block.
Wow. Well, you can't get much closer to that. You can't get much closer to crime unless you're committing the crime. You're right there.
Yeah. I was working nights on a cell block and then going to school in the daytime. But my gosh, I started identifying with these young prisoners. I thought, holy cow, these guys are just like me. I'm getting out of here. So I quit after a couple of years. But I've been real blessed in my life where I've always had these kind of interesting jobs, careers. You know, I spent, 30, 35 years over in the Orient, in China. I've lived in Hong Kong. I've traveled all over every country in Asia. So a lot of my books are based on characters that I've met there and the things that I've done and the adventures and so forth. But,
and I think that helps in your writing. That definitely helps in your writing. You know, it gives you a different flavor, than other people have. You can see it in books, but that doesn't mean you know it.
Yeah. I mentor writers, as many as I can at a time, but the first thing I tell them is you must write what you know. You can't write somebody else's story. You have to write what you know. And you have to know who your audience is, and you write for yourself. Don't worry about writing for someone else. You know,
I think that's a huge problem for people, because I think certainly now, because more than ever, because I think people become insecure thinking their writing isn't good enough. But the truth of the matter is, not everybody has a story to tell. I can't really say that, because sometimes they don't have a story to tell. Maybe probably shouldn't tell the story, but they do.
Uh-huh.
But I think that you have 10 cut out ways that you told people how to write, and it's mostly like one of it is use your imagination, which I think people really tend to forget to do when they're writing.
Well, a writer is a storyteller. I mean, that's what you are. You know, the way I look at our business, Marcia, is pretty basic. Our industry, we're in the entertainment business. And our job as writers, we're at the very first step of that whole entertainment chain of things that follow. For example, tonight I'm sitting here and I'm going to start writing a new series. And the ultimate end to that series for me would be have it in a movie way down the line. And all along the line there's a bits and pieces of our industry, our entertainment industry. So we are entertainers. And
yes.
So what do entertainers do? They're creative. They write things. They know things. They're funny. They're serious. They can cry. I mean, all types of things. And the writer
See,
has
you,
to be
you
able
say
to do
in,
all
in your
10 those
successful roles. Steps, in your steps, you're saying, you know, which I feel like when, you know, and I think your audience connects with you really well, because I can see by their comments and you know, what you write and what you tell them.
Right.
You're saying to be your main character, which is, it's sometimes for a lot of people, it's a very hard thing to do, especially when you're just starting. You try not to be yourself because you want people not to think that some of your characters, if they're bad or if they do bad things, it's not you doing it, because sometimes you get that idea that maybe people will think you think that way. You know, the author thinks that way.
Well,
but
no,
you're saying
no,
be
no,
your main character.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Here's another rule for beginners or for people who have been around a long time. Is you take your hero and you take him to the max. You hurt him. You beat him up. You break his heart. You break his bones. You take him to the very limit of his endurance, and then you bring him back. That's the whole secret of writing a book, where you have a character like that. And you surround him with good people and bad people. And sure, I mean, these are people in your imagination. I mean, we're all of, if you're a writer, you have these people in your brain that you can't get rid of. They're there.
That's really true. I know. I start calling, sometimes by accident, I'll say that character when I'm meaning a person sitting over there, that character over there, you know, because to me, I look at people as characters, and, you know, even though I don't want to sometimes, I just all of a sudden, I feel like sometimes when I'm seeing someone, well, this is a character, or, it is hard to make a character for a lot of people, but for me, when I'm writing, I think you do the same thing. You just take someone, and that's it. That's who you're thinking of, and you get right into it.
Right. You know, Hemingway said it best. He said, when you write about a person. You describe a person. Don't write a character. A character is a caricature.
Yeah.
Write about a person, and if you're talking in first person, writing in first person or third person, doesn't matter. That character is you. And because you're the one that has to be emotional and
right.
hurt and achieve and be heroic or whatever you're going to do with the guy.
Well, yeah, I have a character like Virginia Templeton character, and so she swears a lot and she does a lot of different other things. It's not me at all, but it's someone I made up in a screenplay. However, when I'm swearing a lot, I go, well, that's Virginia. There she goes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Virginia Templeton.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go, oh, Virginia would, if she saw someone like that, she'd say this. Because we can't help it sometimes if the character, I mean, comes out in some of us.
Does bad things, sure. Yeah.
You know, you might not think so.
I've just started, I started a new series, Kimo Kanoa, A Private Eye in Honolulu. And it's about this Hawaiian guy that got kicked off the Honolulu or the Oahu Police Force, and now he's a PI. And I did a lot of research trying to pick up the slang, what do the people do in Hawaii, because it's not all tourists, you know. So anyway, it was just really interesting. But then I got to the point where I could actually be this guy. And so I'm writing this series, and all of a sudden I'm thinking in this, you know, this pigeon English. Hey, brother. How you, brother? You know, sister, brother. You know, all this stuff. But it's fun. You have to do a lot of research, really.
Well,
but
you also should have fun. I have to add this part. You have to have fun. I think sometimes, because a lot of authors are so worried about, myself included, I always include myself in a lot of this, because I make the mistake of doing too much social media myself. Because it really gets to your head, and you really have to have time to write, and you can't, you have to have fun. And I know most of the people on here aren't thinking as much, that social media is fun, because it's a lot of it. It's really hard work. I mean, I think I'd rather wash floors than do this, because I am tired sometimes because mentally, and then when I'm done, I'm thinking like, okay, I have to share this, do this. And, and then I have to take off, I have taken off a lot of my blogs. I have a lot of blogs, and I had a lot of pages, and, so I got rid of a lot of things. I just want to make one announcement.
Right.
If you're in the chat room or if you want to call in, there are people calling in, but if you want to call in, you can just listen to the show. I won't, put you on the show. The number to call in is 714-242-5259. You can call in for a question, or otherwise you can call you know, just as, because I do this a lot when I'm listening to shows. If you can't get in the show, sometimes I call in and I just sit there, because sometimes you get in. Usually on demand, it's easier with Blog Talk. Sometimes it does take a long time for the show to come up. So I myself don't have the patience. Sometimes I'm thinking, where is it? Blog Talk, I click the little button and it doesn't come on. But if you wait long enough, it does load. It's a large load that comes out because Blog Talk is huge. So if you want to call in, that's fine too, and just stay on the phone. I won't bother you, you know, because I won't ask you any questions.
Yeah.
Okay, I will ask you questions because you're on the phone with me. You're there.
No, you know, when you and I talked initially, you said that you wanted me to talk about what I do and how I do it. It might help some of the newer people in the business or some of the older people. I've been writing and publishing for almost 6 years and full time. And I took this on as a job. It has to be taken on that way, you know. And my routine is, I'll write for 6 to 8 hours a day, and then I'll market for 4 to 5 hours a day. And
you do
that
every
day?
Do you market 4 hours every day?
7 days a week.
Yeah.
You have to. You have to, because what I found is that it is a job, you know.
In our
business, it is so competitive. There are so many writers out there. I was trying to find out from Amazon today how many authors they have on Kindle, for example. And I couldn't get the exact number, but I know it's 300,000 plus.
Really?
And a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure whether that breaks down to all books, fiction and fiction. I don't know, but I know this, that when you can write the best book in the world, you can have an absolute, you know, Dr. Zhivago on your hands. But if you don't know how to market yourself and market your book, then you're not going to go anywhere. You will not sell books. You'll sell some to your family. You'll sell some to friends. And then it just disappears into that 300,000 quagmire.
Well, you're a successful indie author. So that is one of the things people think they can't be successful at. Last week I had Gerard my show last week, and he's an indie author, and DeMarini, and he is a very successful also. And that's why I think that people think they can't be successful if they don't have a big publisher behind them. You have worked so hard, but that's the reason. You've worked so hard, and that's what you have to do.
Well, the thing about it is our industry is very competitive, and there's two ways to go. There's the Main Street way, that people think that they have to go the traditional way, where you get an agent, then the agent will get you a publisher, and you might have a book put out once a year, or you might not. You know, it's no longer in your hands. And I went that route, and I've gone the print-on-demand route. I mean, I've sunk so much money into these things. Everyone makes money but the author.
Yeah.
And so I said, wait a minute, why am I doing this? Why don't I just do it all myself? And so I did. So I started. So in about 6 years ago, I had a good book. In fact, I'm going to reissue it just either tonight or tomorrow as a Kindle author's recut, where I've really updated the cover, I've updated the book, everything. I'm going to put it back
out. So are you saying that you're calling it like a recut? That's what you're putting it out as?
Absolutely. And see, here's the thing. I've already sold about 80,000 of this particular book. Excuse me. So it's got a track record. It's been out there. It's got,
So you have a new cover? And is there anything else new about it?
Absolutely. I put it back through the editing cycle. I have an editor, five-star editing, which is the best in the country. I had that book just flushed, just cleaned.
Yeah, and your editor, I know. She's been editing a lot of people's books, so we'll hope to have her on soon, a show, because I had my editor on, Jeff. Yeah, and I think the editors, I don't know about you, but I do make a lot of mistakes as far as my edit. You know, I'm not an editor, and I admit it. You know, and I need editing. you know, and I think a lot
right,
of people
right.
get inhibited if they feel like if they're going, like Virginia and I were both talking about this, and Virginia and I are going to have a show about this as far as like when we write, you just have to keep writing sometimes. You can't keep going back and checking over your
yeah.
work. This is, you'll
never
get done.
Never do that. Never do that. No, you're the storyteller.
You write straight through. Do you write straight through?
Absolutely. I don't do an outline.
You don't look back at all?
You don't go back?
Nope.
No, I'm sorry. I'll write. At the end of the day, I'll just close it up. Next morning, I'll read what I wrote. I won't make any corrections. That's not my job. I've got an editor to make me look good. Okay.
How many books do you have? I want people to know how many books. You have a lot of books. How many books do you have? I
have 25 books.
Okay. So you know what
and
you're
I've
saying.
Been writing.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I sure do. And, you know, I tried being my own editor. God, I'm going to try that. Number five rule, okay, somewhere in this, all these rules.
Yeah. That's true, though. That for me is a hindrance. If I think I can't, I just know for a fact I can't. You know, I do. I'm sure that most writers do repeat themselves, and they do add things on, and they, you know, if you keep going back, though, I think what happens is you lose the essence of the story. I mean, somewhere along that you lose what you had.
Yeah. Number one, I mean, you just have to be a free agent. You just have to let your mind flow when you're writing. Don't worry about dangling participles and comma versus no comma or whatever. Just write the hell out of that book.
I know.
You know, and get, you know, bleed. That's what you're there for. Tell that story.
What does your editor say, say to you? I mean, when she gets a book from you. What does she say right away when she gets it? Does she read it through first, or does she just start, you know, with the red pen?
There are two editors in the country that I swear by. One is Janelle Williams Park. She's an author's accomplice.
Right.
She's out on the West Coast, a super, super editor. And then there's Roxanne Adams, five-star editing on the East Coast. She's up in Maine. And they're both very talented. They're both educated and all that. So. And they know what they're doing. But to answer your question, when I send my book to the editor, it is her job not to call me and say, well, what did you want to do here? She's not allowed to change any of my dialogue or any of my narrative. She can change the words around and clean them up because I'm terrible on tenses and, you know,
There you go. There, that's the buzzword for me, tenses. I'm really bad at that. Okay.
So that's what people, and you know, you don't have to pay. I've spent so much money on editors. Oh, my gosh. And it just drives me nuts when I think about it. So when you find a good editor, you want to lock them in.
Yeah.
And problem is, they're in demand. But
yes, they are.
You don't have to, you know, what you have to do is you have to look at your cost of goods, too. This is the business side. If you pay some editor, you know, $600, $1,000 to edit, you know, 100,000-word book or a 60,000-word book, you know, you've got to sell 500 books to break even just on your cost of goods.
Yeah.
You know, so the economics of that are in there. So if you're kind of writing for a living, you better know the cost of your goods. And the cost of your goods includes editing, publishing, and all the other stuff.
But you
and
also do that because you ran a business, though. You ran a business. So that's what you're running. You're doing it exactly like a business because of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I worked at Mattel Toys for 17 years, and when I left there, I was executive VP of worldwide operations. So I was real lucky in my career. So I got to travel all over the world. And so when I went out on my own, I was like 42, 43 years old. It was one of those major life change events.
I do know.
I dumped my ninth wife, you know. It seemed like it. Oh, my God. You know, that's another story. That's another program.
Yeah, that could be a book. You could write a whole book on that.
You know, and that, well, in a minute, let's talk about genres. But for now, let me tell you, I moved to Hong Kong. I moved to Hong Kong and started a company, and I lived in a hotel. I lived at the Hilton Hotel in Hong Kong for 6 months. In the morning, I would go source products, talking to all these Chinese people. In the afternoon, I was looking for an office, and I was lucky enough. I got some business from McDonald's for their Happy Meal programs, and so business took off. But
great.
It was a just exciting time.
Yeah,
and,
very.
And, uh, Yeah, so, but and in that excitement, there's also a lot of adventure that I draw on. But so yeah, I do have business experience.
A lot of it.
A lot of it. And so
yeah, I think that that's why you have so much going on. I mean, because you have done so many things.
You know, my stories, I'm an action thriller, suspense, mystery writer. You know, I try and hit as many genres as I can. For example, I do a little bit of co-authoring with a lady that lives in Kansas City. And she and I just finished a book called Blowback on the Border. And her name is Casey Ward, and we have written three books together. But the Blowback on the Border is about all of the stuff going on down in the Texas southern border, Mexican border, with all the cartels and the
popular
gosh,
subject.
Oh, and so yeah, so this thing has been out. This book's been out for 3 weeks, and the thing is, I mean, it's they're running out of cyber.
you also keep writing while you're marketing.
Yeah.
So I think, in essence, what you've done is you build yourself, which is what you said when I heard you on the show, was you built yourself a brand. It's all about you. And
yes, exactly.
They like you,
exactly.
Your fans. And that's really important.
See,
most people make it about their books, but you're making it about you.
Yeah, you can't. First, when you go into this business, when you say, okay, I'm an author, anyone can say that, and it's
right.
Legitimate. You know, if you write a book, you're an author. Or a story, a short story, a novella, whatever. But, you know, if you're a one-book person and that's your plan, well, you're going to, like I said earlier, you're going to sell a few copies and then it's just going to disappear. If you're serious about being in a, the next Robert Cray or Michael Connelly or something like that, which are mega, mega superstar people, then that's a very ambitious goal, and you should have that if that's your goal. I've been real fortunate. I know that I am the brand. People need to know who you are, or they're not going to buy your books. You know, people. If you go on some of these author or group blogs, and you see these ads say, "Special today, 99 cents. Go over to my page and buy my book." Well. Who are you? And nobody knows who you are. You know, 99 cents? Oh, why are you selling it for 99 cents? If you wrote a 50,000-word book and you're selling it for 99 cents, boy, you better rethink your worth. You know, don't leave any money on people. I'll tell you.
So what's the average of your books? What's the average price you put your book at?
Here's the sweet spot for
e-books.
If you sell books on Kindle or Kobo or wherever, here's the sweet spot.
$2.99.
I think that's a good price.
Because
so what that does, for example, on Kindle, that drops down to $2.06 royalty per book.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, if you go up to $3.99, the people we're after the my audience are the people that can. They're not going to pay $25-$30 for a hardback book. I mean, that's a lot of money. You know, and that's what they're going for now. If you go to Barnes & Noble, oh, my gosh, the prices are outrageous.
I think you're absolutely right, because I do think, you know, but the cost is very expensive a lot of times, and the big publishers, the six, they keep their prices the way they are, because a lot of people, listen, Amazon gets money, they get money, the agent gets money,
well,
the PR person gets money, and the author gets nothing.
The author gets nothing.
Yeah, if they get an advance, what people don't realize is once the author gets an advance, they have to still, before they get their money too, they have to be selling. You just don't get the advance and then walk away.
Yeah.
You got to sell.
Oh, no.
To sell your book.
Some people do. If you have a friend of a friend of a friend, then, you know, you might be able to keep that advance. But most of those are royalties against future sales.
But it's so hard to do that, you know, and for a new person coming out there, I think the expectations, you know, and, you know, always, I've been in this business like 20 years, and I should say I'm an author, an agent, you know, a radio show host, a screenwriter, I've done a lot of things, and, you know, people think they just make a lot of money, and you don't right away. You may never make a lot. It's just, you know, that's why you have to, they say, keep your day job, because you can't be thinking that you're making $1 million after you write your book.
Uh-huh.
And you can't be depressed if it doesn't make that, because you got to keep going on. You just can't put one, even if it's a good book, you still need to have other books. Because if it's a good book, people want to read you.
Exactly.
So you how did you get your fans? Okay, this is a big thing, because you have fans, readers, everybody out there, listeners.
I do.
So how did you do
blessed.
That? You are. But but you spend a lot of hours with them. Okay, so that's one thing.
But it's taken me a long time to do that. I can post what I do. Is I identified who my audience is. You know, I write thrillers. I write men in action, kick butt, blood and guts, shoot, things that guys like, and women.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I'm not a good romance writer, but I can do X-rated stuff for erotica. That's just not my style. I mean, there's nothing wrong with erotica if that's what you write. But I don't do it because I'm not good at it.
But you do have romance in it, because you do have romance in it. You have romance.
I do.
That's important, but it's not a romance book. But that's what we talked about that too. Because if you're writing a romance scene, it doesn't mean you're a romance writer. It's just you're writing about life.
That's right. That's right, exactly. And you've got to be able to do that too. You know, I had a lady send me a message not too long ago saying that, you know, thank you for writing about that. I have a character that lives in one of my books, and she dies. And this lady was so upset. I mean, it was like she lost her friend and everything.
Well,
and her husband left her, not her husband, but her boyfriend. But anyway, back on topic, you have to know who your audience is. Okay, so my audience...
Yeah.
Are guys all ages? You know, they're cops, truck drivers, night workers, paramedics, military, retired military, teachers. I shouldn't probably say this, but I will. I joined the AFL-CIO, and I'm anti-labor, but I joined the AFCL and used to post my books on their website and just to get my name out there. They finally caught up with me, and I'm no longer a union member. But, you know, you have to think. Okay, who's reading my books? You know, who reads this stuff? And then you go after that audience. And then what you do is you communicate with your audience. People, the reason magazines like People Magazine and Vogue and some of these others, where they're talking about all these stars and everything, readers and people love to hear about authors and the actors and the so forth. That's why I'm saying that what I do on my Facebook page, for example, Facebook is an excellent format or a platform for an author. You know, I'll write two or three posts about my life or something I'm interested in or something I think my friends and fans are interested in, and then I'll put a book up, one of my books. And I'll promote a book. And I do that all day long. You know, three, four, five posts, boom, then a book. And I have a system, not a system, but I have a reach right now, reach being how far out can my books go, to about 500,000 people. When I post something on Facebook or on my author's Facebook or some of the other sites, it ripples out to... 200, 300, 400,000 people. And that may not see it, but it goes out to those people. And so if that goes out to, say, 100,000 people, and maybe 10,000 people around the world will see it, out of that 10,000, maybe, 1,000 will go read about it, and then maybe I'll get 10 sales off of it, or maybe one sale, but it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, but you have a good reach. I mean, you've done really like an incredible. I mean, it's really, that's one of the things. When I heard you, it was so interesting, and we have somebody on the line and in the show with us right now, and let's see if she wants to say her own name. This is like a surprise guest for you. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, how is my wonderful friend who makes me giggle every time I close my eyes and I envision him running through the jungle with an elephant on his heels, screaming like a girl. How's it going, Mike? This is Linda Barton.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Hi, Linda.
Oh, my God.
Hi, Linda.
Linda, I told Marcia she wanted to have a surprise guest, and I said, it's fine as long as it's not one of my ex-wives.
No, neither of us are that. Neither of us are that. Okay. And, you know, and Lisa was supposed to come on, but she's not feeling well, so we'll say hi to Lisa, and she'll hopefully come on again with Linda. You know,
yeah,
and that will be fun. You know, I heard you guys on the show, and you just want to say who you are and what you do, and then we'll get to talking. But, you know, it's funny because it's late at night, your show, and I'm up late.
Yeah.
And I know, and there's a lot of writers up late. They are, because I see them at 1 and 2 whatever. So it's okay. Tell everybody who you are, and that's how I heard Mike. So go ahead. People are listening, right?
Yay! My name is Linda Barton. My partner, Lisa Vandeveer, we both run Deadly Reads. We're both authors. I primarily write thrillers. Lisa writes fantasy and romance. We started our little Blog Talk Radio show in October of last year. We were fortunate enough to get to have Mike on as a guest. Had a blast that night. Oh, he was so much fun. We laughed ourselves silly that night.
But being said though, I mean, what he was saying and what you were saying, it was very interesting, you know. And you reminded me of Virginia and I, because we just kind of go with it. You said, you know, I mean, I've had 600 shows. I just kind of go with it, you know, because it's so much fun. It is fun, you know, and it's
a really good
form of PR. You know, I think that people don't realize how great a PR it is, you know,
because my shows
go on forever. These last forever. You know, that was
our first show. Yeah, I have to admit, our first show, Lisa and I were terrified. We were both laughing when we hung up. I guess our knees were both knocking under our desks, and we were scared to death. But it's gotten easy. It's gone along. If anybody wants to listen, it's called Journey Into the Night.
What time is it on?
We're on Thursdays at 10 o'clock Central Time. So that would be 11 your time, huh?
I'm Central.
Yeah.
We're all Central. Everybody on this now is Central.
Okay.
You know, and
it's 10 o'clock Central on Thursdays. Now, we've since started having a special Wednesday night show. It's not going to be every Wednesday, but we're proud supporters of Esure Awareness. I don't know if anybody's heard of it. We've had 2 shows now. We're having another one next Wednesday where women can call in and share their stories about the problems with the Esure birth control devices they've had with them. Oh, if you want to listen to those shows, just have tissue ready because the stories are heartbreaking.
When is that going to be on? Wednesdays now?
On Wednesdays. We're probably going to do at least once a month, maybe twice a month for the Esure shows. But our regular Journey Into the Night shows, those are every Thursday, 10 p.m. Central. And we have a lineup of guests. Lisa has outdone herself. But we hope to have Mike back again, too. Right, Mike?
I'm ready, you know.
We have a question here. Okay. this is for you, Mike. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Right. They've been trying to write a book about themselves. Is it better to write in first person or third person? How do you feel about that?
I write in both ways. It depends on what mood I'm in. When you write first person, it gives you the ability to go deep inside, you know, where your thoughts are there. You can do that third person too, to an extent, but if you're getting into a lot of psychological issues or twists and turns, it's best to go first person. Just imagine if you have your storyline in your mind, just start talking out loud and listen to yourself. and you'll see that it probably comes out better first person.
Yeah, they said they're not a writer. They said they're not a writer, and they're trying. But you know what? That's a good thing to try. You have to start, you know. And I think that once they start, I think then they'll find a voice, you know, because sometimes, you know, you just by saying you write a book, it becomes overwhelming. So my advice also would be to probably just start writing. And hopefully, you know, you won't give up, because I've been doing this for so long, and I want people to keep writing, because, you know, you really can't give up. I mean, you know, when you just start, you know, Linda, would you say that too? Would that be something you would like to say something on?
Oh, definitely. You know, I have come a long way. I published my first book in 2011. And if I go back and read something that I wrote then, you know, of course, since I've fixed it, you know, but I read the initial, I've come so far, and you do grow, and you just have to keep growing and learning and listening to people like Mike. Lisa and I learned so much from him the night he was on with us. We were writing notes and
Me too. I was writing notes too, you know, and that's one of the things I say, you know, even after having all these shows, because everybody does things a little different. But, you know, Mike, I think you really vocalize it and you really put it in the right perspective for people. And I think people connect with you, Mike, as far as, you know, your story is how you do this. And so somebody, they're just saying they wrote in the weekend 18,000 words. That's really good. So keep writing. I mean,
18,000
words?
Yeah, that
is good. Yeah, 18,000, that's awesome.
I wish that I could. 18,000 words. I mean,
sometimes, you know, and that's really a good try. So they, you know, it comes out easy, so that's a good thing. That's really good, you know. And that's one of the things I think for authors out there, you know, when you get more established and you do more work, I think sometimes you think too much. And I think sometimes the initial writing, when you just, like you said before, Mike, just start writing it. Don't think about everything in the past.
Yeah.
Don't think about how many you're going to sell. Don't think about all these things. So is there anything else you'd like to say to this person out there? Because I think that, you know, because we're both of us are talking about the fact that we, you know, I've learned so much from listening to you and seeing how you promote yourself. You're good at this. You are.
Well, thank you. You know, the thing for anyone that wants to write, and everyone wants to write, it's just just human nature to want to write about yourself or your life or whatever.
Yeah.
Just sit down and write, and don't worry so much about word count as more about content. You know, a good exercise for any writer, no matter where you are, is to look at a tree and describe it, write it. What do you see? What do you smell? Mm-hmm. What do you taste? What are you feeling? Mm-hmm. You know, write those things out so it becomes second nature. So when you do write these things, whether it's in first person, third person, whatever, then you start including those in your story. And it's you. It's you that's talking then. It's not some words that are coming out, well, I've got to write to this formula because that's what I was taught in the 11th grade English. That I must use semicolons instead of commas, and I must do that. Forget the rules, forget everything, and just start writing, and just never stop. To me, a good day of writing is about 2600 words. That's a good day. And what I try to do is
apparently you've got a lot of good days.
I got 25 books. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I've got westerns. I've got thrillers. I'm doing a series this year of humor, not adult humor. It's about a male escort and how he's this rich guy that I've never done humor before. I do funny things in my book.
Oh, I think you'll be able to do that just fine. I think that should come
out
really good.
Yeah,
great
to see
you.
It's going to come out just fine.
Here. I always go back to Hemingway. On a good day, would write 600 words on his old typewriter, okay, in triplicate. You know, that's the old days when they had the carbon paper and you had to do everything in triplicate and the old typewriters. And today, you know, you can pound out 3,000 words on your PC and run it through spell check, and man, you're home free. But it's not the word count. It's the content. What is it that you're saying?
And I like what you said about the editor part. I do like what you said about the editor part because, you know, I do have those issues too. And, you know, and I think that a lot of times, you know, I don't think that people realize that's what the editor does. The editor, that's why people so desperately need an editor because, you know, I think most people don't realize how many times they repeat things or they say the wrong word or they spell wrong. You know,
and
it's
and
just
that
normal.
Mean you're a bad writer. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean you're a bad writer. See,
that's good.
You don't. All right, the other thing, too, is when people are first starting out and they don't have any money, they're doing this in their kitchen table at night or whatever. And if you can't afford an editor, there's always a price point out there. You can find someone, but be careful of who you bring on to edit your books. Check them out. But go have your sister do it or your brother or a friend at school or whatever. Let them read it, but just get another pair of eyeballs on that book before you download it. Because the kiss of death is a negative review. Okay? And,
There are a lot of people, though, that do write negative reviews for just no reason at all.
Oh, I know.
You know, we go through this a lot.
If you want a negative review, do a Kindle Free Days and get thousands of downloads.
Exactly.
Boy, that brings out the NeNe.
I'm totally against free. I do not believe, don't ever give your book away. Rule number six, okay? Never give your book away, okay? It's just a bad business. You know, you've put 3 months, 6 months, a year, 10 years into this book, and you're going to give it away? No. You know, and these people, there are people out there that just go to these free days and just load up on all these books, and that's cool because they're there. But as an author, I don't care who you are, your efforts are worth something. So never give anything away. You know, the sweet spot is $2.99 on Kindle, and people will pay that. They can afford it. They can afford $2, whatever. Don't give the product away. It's just bad.
No. I think somebody wants to call in here and ask a question. Is that okay with you? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I hope it's the right person. This is always, you know, Virginia and I have had issues when we do shows. Okie doke.
People calling
in. Hi, it's Marsha. Did you have a question for Mike?
I'm giggling.
Hello?
Hold your breath. Yes, it's the right person.
Okay, good. Yay. Okay. Maybe they'll hire me to do more shows. Okay. All right. Hi. Do you want to talk to Mike? Okay.
Yeah. My question was when I was asking in the chat room about first person and third person, was that when I was describing like childhood, you know, things that happened in childhood. My writing is honestly pretty pathetic, you know, because I barely graduated high school. But
that's okay. Doesn't mean a thing.
But there's just something inside of me that has just really wanted to do this for a long time, and why I want to do it, I really don't know why. Because, you know, for years I just kind of, you know, something inside of me has just been telling me to do this, and I kind of push it away, and it just keeps coming back. And I'm the last guy you'd ever expect to write anything. You know, I haven't written a letter in 25 years, you know. So about six weeks ago, I finally said, okay, I'm going to sit down and you know, type this out. And all of a sudden, it just kind of, you know, I mean, just came out.
Right.
But when I read it back, it makes a lot of sense to me, but I gave it to my wife. You should have seen my wife's face. She just looked at me and went, oh, my God, Mike. She says, you should have stayed in school, you know, because it was probably looked like it was written by a seventh grader, you know.
But, you know, that there it is right there. You're writing what you know. You're writing to the best of your ability. Don't write for other people. Write for yourself. If you like what you wrote, then, by gosh, that's a good story. You know? Is it marketable? Who knows? There are people out there who will read anything. There are people that, you know, that just read technical manuals for entertainment. I mean, so you never know who your audience is. So you look at that and say, okay, well, who reads first person about children, you know, flashbacks in their childhood. Well, there's a lot of people out there, you know, that do. So,
yeah,
right.
Never get discouraged. Don't get discouraged over it, you know.
Your editor.
For example, you know, let me tell you something. My wife, the one I currently have,
okay.
She has never read okay. one of my books. She is not allowed to read my books. I don't let her read them because yeah. then she's going to say, oh, well, why did you do this to that person? Well, you can't say that. You know, and all this stuff, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I don't need this. And so I'm writing to satisfy her. So we have a deal. She doesn't read any of my books. She doesn't
yeah.
read any of my posts on Facebook. I mean, it's lovely.
Yeah. my husband, Linda, did you have something to say? I think Linda might have had something to say. Did you, Linda?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
To the man who's writing his book,
okay.
don't worry about any of that. You know, you write your book, you do the best that you can, and then you find somebody that you can trust that you can work with. I'm currently editing a book for a man. It's just going to be a debut, you know, book. He's worked on it for like 3 years, and he's a college professor. And it's an action thriller type book. And I've been going through it, and I sent him over the first chapter I went through to get a, you know, to let him know, you know, some areas that he really needed to work on. And I was trying to save him some money if he went back and would fix them. And he said, no, he said, just go for it. He says, I don't have time to deal with it. But he was making mistakes in there that even I was surprised about, you know. So don't
right. I you know what? That's true.
Don't
see, that's
think,
the
don't
thing.
Don't think that you're bad.
right, exactly. Right, because I when I was an agent and, you know, with screenplays and with, right, you know, I used to see people all the time, and their education level was so high, but they still made the same mistakes as everybody else.
Sure.
So it's not about,
don't
right.
worry about
it's
that.
Not,
yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. You know, so that's what should keep you writing. So did you have any other questions to ask, or?
I can
just
make him a really
one.
Good recommendation. I can make you a
okay.
good recommendation
yeah.
for your book, though,
okay.
that might help you.
Okay.
Get Grammarly.
Sure.
Get Grammarly. It's online.
Okay.
It will help you immensely. You will learn things. It will teach you what you're doing wrong, and over time you won't make those mistakes. I used to be the comma queen. If it called for a comma, I would put it there. If it needed one, you know, I mean, I commas everywhere or not enough commas. And
yeah.
I was notorious, and I got ate up by it before on some reviews.
Oh,
I
yeah.
just was screwing
yeah.
up. You know, I didn't know. And,
yeah,
you know, these supposed editors I was paying were catching it, so... I got Grammarly.
Yeah,
okay.
I think that's what, yeah, and that's what Mike said, you know, even after it's edited, have other people look at it or reread it because, you know, people make mistakes even if they're an editor, you know, so.
But this will help
right.
you with structuring sentences and everything. It shows you how to helps you with structuring your sentence. So you'll learn a lot before you even have to send it to the editor. It will make you feel better about your writing as you go along, I promise. I love it.
And then
now,
you can listen for Grammarly.
Do they change the... Ooh. Do editors change the tone? Like, everybody has their own style or whatever, but do editors change the tone of your book?
Well, I had that. I had my editor who does all my books. He was talking to me about tone. I kept saying, like, what are you talking? I didn't even know what he was talking about. You know, the tone of this.
Like, everybody has their own style.
Right, and I asked Virginia, who is an editor and the other partner of World of Ink, and she didn't understand that either. So I think even when an editor tells you something, you might not understand it, because I'm going like, well, what, you know, what exactly do you mean tone? Do you want me, you know, do I change this? Do I change that? And, you know, I think, you know, Mike, you seem to go on the same tone, you know, when you're writing. How do you
yeah.
keep that
what,
going?
What I, the way I, the way that I work with an editor, first of all, I write kind of real in a personal kind of way. You know, I bring in all the senses and so forth. And I don't want that to change. You know, that's the tone. That sets the scenes. You know, when you walk into a killing room, I want you to smell the blood and the hair burning and everything else, you know, and without me having me say that. All right, so an editor is not allowed, my editors are not allowed to change that, you know.
Okay.
You know, because when
and
you
how does your editor
site,
feel about that, though?
Kind of,
how does the editor feel about that? Do they think
it
sometimes it's a mistake? Okay, all right, okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
No,
right,
no,
okay.
No, you have to have, to have a very clear understanding and a good working relationship with your editor.
Yeah,
after a couple
exactly.
of books working with them, they know what you like, you know what they
yeah.
like.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
so, and you talk things through. Like before the show tonight, I was talking to the editor, and we were talking about Honorable Revenge, this book I'm going to reissue. And she said, well, what do you mean by this? So we talked about that for a few minutes, and we both decided to change the word that I used.
Okay, yeah.
And it changed the whole meaning of that paragraph. So anyway, you talk those things out. You know, you just don't send it over, and then, you know, a week, 2 weeks later, you get it back, and okay, let's go. It's ready.
Right,
but
I think,
no,
you know.
It's your production.
Right, and I think with my editor, he's done about 10 of my books, all my screenplays. He's the only editor I've ever had. And, you know, we talk about this, and then, you know, he might say we don't argue about it, but we do. But I always say to him, you know, like my dialogue, I want, you know, I have in this one, I have a dog that talks. It's called Grand Central Station. I says, I'm just saying, the dog, do not touch one word of what that dog says,
right.
okay?
Right.
Because
oh, yeah.
I
oh, yeah.
want, that dog talks a certain way. So, but he does, the one thing after when you work with them for a long time, the editors, what happens is they, like I knew there were a couple things that I was questioning myself, and he found them.
Uh-huh.
right, you know
uh-huh.
what I mean? Because he asked
yeah.
me
well,
when we
is.
Talked on
yeah.
the phone, right, they get to know like what, you know, the, and I knew that he'd figure them out, and he did. You know, and then I say, all right, either get
yeah.
rid of it or do something. Yeah.
The dialogue, Marcia, is sacrosanct. You cannot, an
yeah.
editor, or no one can change your dialogue because that's
right.
those are your
I know.
Characters. That's what,
I know that.
Otherwise, everybody just sounds
right.
the same. All your, there'll be no
yeah.
difference between your characters.
Yeah,
like you
I
know,
agree.
I've got characters that I love. I mean, this one guy,
right.
Max Sims, he's a taxi driver in my Key West series. He's a secondary character, but I love this guy because he's a New York cabbie, and he talks
right.
like a New York
That's
cabbie,
it.
And I ain't going to go
right.
around there to that.
Yep.
No way. I'm not going down that, you know. And he's got a certain way of talking. So
right.
editors are not allowed to touch
mm-hmm.
dialogue.
I know.
For me,
I just get, right. Yeah.
It's not the editor's job. I look at it, you know, you're the author. This is your story.
Yeah.
This
right.
is your
right.
baby. You know, to me, in my opinion, the author's job it's just to help you put the final polish on it, period.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Okay.
They make you shine. Yeah, they, you know, they make sure that your seventh grade English teacher will be proud of you.
yeah, well, my, you know what? I'm going to tell
once
you something.
She,
mine, would pro-
this,
mine,
yeah.
mine would probably be really shocked because,
yeah,
what
all
I,
the four-letter
you know,
words. Mine would too.
Yeah, you know, yeah, because they say, really? You know, I don't think people probably would have thought I would have done this. That's real. And then even being on a radio show, I, you know, when I first started, well, about 10 years ago, I with Fidelity, she does, I independently publish and she does my work and she'd say, you have to go on a radio show. I go, I don't think that's happening. I write. I'm not going on a show.
Uh-huh.
She goes,
right,
well, you
right.
need to. I go, like, I don't need to. And she goes, you need to.
Uh-huh.
So, and then I went on for 5 minutes and I know what, I really know what Linda and Lisa were talking about when they were on their show. You know, they were, I went on for 5 minutes. I was a wreck, okay? And I talk a lot, as everybody knows. And I did it, and then it was from Red River. And then that's where I started. And Red River, she said, do you want to come on another show? And I did. And then she said, you want a show? I go, like, what? And then I did a show, and then 600 shows. But this would probably be, so even if you think you would never been a writer, this is for the caller, no one ever knows down the line what they're going to be. So, and, you know, you just have to believe in yourself and just keep going.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay. Exactly.
Never give up. Never give up.
All right. Right. Okay. And if you always, you can listen to our shows or Lisa and Linda's show, and you know, feel free to always ask us questions. Is there anything else you wanted to ask before we move on here?
No. Thank you very much
okay.
for.
Oh, you're welcome.
We
wish you luck. You want to say your name or not, or
room.
Do you just want to say what your email?
Yeah, my
or
name
you...
is Mike. My name is Mike, and I'll be working on my English and grammar and ain't going to give up. Thank you very
that's
much.
Right.
There
that's
right.
Mike. You got that right. Okay.
Good.
Nice meeting you.
Thank
good
you
luck.
So much.
Thank
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okie doke. I don't want to, let's see. I don't, oh, he hung up. Okay, good. Okay, because I don't want to
okay.
hang up anybody else. Okay, go ahead.
You know, one of the things you wanted to talk about earlier on, and I'd like just to talk for a moment about, is co-writing. Writing
yeah.
with someone else.
That's
and I, you know, there's a couple of things. I've written three books with a woman in Kansas City, Casey Ward. Excellent, excellent writer. And I wanted to co-write because I have this base, this reading base of men, and you know, and I wanted to branch out and pull in more women readers and expand my reach.
Yeah.
And so I saw her, some of her posts. I was impressed with her, her word usage and so forth. So I contacted her, and we said, okay, let's try writing a book. And so we did one, and we published it last year. We've done three together. Last year in February, I guess, we did one of my series books, a Key West series, and she was a female character. And she wrote her part. I wrote my part. And we found that it was really rewarding to do because you get a totally different outlook on what other writers are thinking. You know, she is a...
Well, I think women and men, between men and women, I think we do write differently. And I think that's a good idea because you get, you know, you get both tone. Well, as he said, tone, or you get both, you know, ideas because we do think of things, you know. Right.
Yeah.
My editor and I wrote it. We wrote a screenplay together, and he says we didn't argue. I said we did. So what can I say? He said it was just fine. And I thought, okay, you know, it was a horror film. So I'm going like, okay, you know, but I think that I think that we don't have the same opinion. I think it's good sometimes because you get another opinion,
absolutely,
you know, and the
yeah.
story moves in a different way when there's two.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and we're at the point now where if I write something, Casey will call me and say, Mike, no, we're not going to say that, you know,
okay.
we're not going to say it that way. We're going to say it this way. Oh, okay, what did I do wrong, you know? Because I'm your typical knuckle dragger, and I don't understand how women think, and I admit it. But the thing about it is that
well, neither
it's
do your characters.
Important.
Then your characters probably don't either. That's why you needed this.
Well, no, no. Surprisingly, you know, we have the second book that we wrote. It's the name of it is Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep, and it's about a serial killer in Hawaii. And oh my God, we had a good time writing a book. Because I wrote all the kill and maim stuff, and she wrote, and Briar Malone is her character, and she was the hero. She was the main character, and I'm the serial killer stalking her and everyone else in Honolulu. God, that was a fun book to write. And at nighttime, you know, we exchanged what we wrote and comment the next morning, and it was great. I mean, I enjoyed it. It takes longer, though, to write a book. I can write a book in... I usually allow 90 days to write a book, and that would give me a 60,000 word book. And when you have a co-writer, it turns into maybe, you know, 4 or 5 months, I think. This book that we just did now, this Blowback on the Border, I think it's like 60,000 words. But it took us 4 months.
I mean, that's, you know, but is now do you discuss this on the phone or how do you do that?
Yeah. Well, we talk, you know, we message back and forth and we talk on the phone. And Casey's husband, Bob, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, I don't know what he was thinking first because they were on the phone talking about, you know, a love scene or something. And I said, Casey, tell Bob, you know, no problem, chill out. You know, but So it's fun to do that. But,
just picture this, okay?
Oh gosh, but no, it works out well. I mean, and you get to know someone really well when you're talking about characters and what they're thinking. And you know, I had this one scene where my killer was in Briar's apartment in Hawaii, and he was stalking her into this bedroom. Oh my God, and. She turned and just beat the crap out of him. And that wasn't my idea. She did. She came back and said, oh, no, you're not going to do that to me. And, you know, next thing I know, I'm on the floor, you know. So, yeah, there's a lot of interface. It is a good thing to do, but I would recommend it not to beginner writers.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
yeah, I think so, yeah.
You know, until you're confident of your own self, your own character development, and your own story development, you might want to not do it with a co-writer, you know. I mean, but that's me. You know, I'm not. Some people might be fine, but you know, I'm looking forward to doing another book with her this year. Maybe a couple. I don't know. But,
so you really, I mean, you're really pumping out the books. And that, it, see, that's one of the things, though. And that's one of the things that I would give people advice on. You know, you can't write too fast, but you also should, you know, you need to, you know, I've made mistakes that way with my Virginia Templeton stories. I've changed them a few times. I've changed the name. And, you know, I think that the character I really love, and I'm going, and I've gotten some information from people that have read it. They love the character, and I finished it off too soon, and that was because I did three separate stories. And I think that is a problem sometimes for me and a lot of people. You know, you want to finish it and get it out, but, you know, and I think it's a good thing when someone says, you know, they want more. You know, and it's not bad if you get a review that says that.
Series are so popular. People want to have recurring characters. So the key to making money in this business is to have a lot of books. You know, if you have one or two books, you're not going to make any money. You know, unless you are, you know, some really whiz-bang, know somebody in the industry, you know, like all these celebrities out of Hollywood, you know, their book's not even out and it's number one bestseller. That's name identification, brand identification. I've been writing for 6 years, and out of Amazon's 300,000 plus or minus authors, my all-time rank for all fiction and nonfiction is 8,600.
That's I don't know how people do it. You know, honestly, I'm going to say the truth. I do not know how they do this. You know, I mean, I really don't. It does get, you know, that's one of the other things that is very tough for authors to handle is the ranks, okay? Because if you look at people's ranks and then you look at some of the other ranks, you go, how come it's not ranking? And even though you sell books, it's not ranking good. I mean, and, you know, that's an issue. You know, but I think that in your case, because you have so many books, I mean, you know, Linda, wouldn't you say that too? Because there's so many books and series, that's probably why that, and your advice is good for people.
Well,
oh,
see,
yeah.
Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what's really disheartening is that the electronic book business is growing leaps and bounds. I mean, it is the future. It is the way to go.
Yeah.
There will always be bricks and mortar bookstores. There will always be publishers.
Yeah.
But not as we know them now, especially in the fiction area, because the pricing is there for an average citizen. Nobody can afford $25. But what's happening, and every time I go to these seminars or these get-togethers with different, like the Mystery Writers of America and Florida Writers and all this stuff, it's always us and them. It's always, well, I'm a published author. I'm a traditional author, you know. Well, good. And that we go on these classes and everything.
Right.
And there was this August body of published authors up on the podium, and this guy from Executive VP from one of the big six things said, well, the road to success is through New York. And I said, oh, excuse me. In the room, there's like 500 people in this room, and I stood up and said, excuse me, not so. The road to New York.
Well, they have to say, you know, they have to say that because – yeah, they have to say that because, you know, otherwise, I mean, you know, I think that they are in somewhat of trouble. I think that, you know, and unfortunately for the writer out there, I know one thing that I'm not happy with. We've had Kirkus on. We've had Kirkus from people from Kirkus Reviews on years ago. And I, you know, paying $500 for a review, and then if I can call a library and they say, do you have a Kirkus review? And I just, you know, I've done this for so long. That really does bother me. And I don't say anything usually. And, you know, the Kirkus review is important for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But if you don't have it, I mean, you don't have it. You know, and you can have a career without it.
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
here's
but,
the deal.
It, you know.
Here's the state of the industry right here in a nutshell. The big six know that they're losing market share. That's what they're in business. They're in business to make money for their stockholders, okay? They're losing market share to indie authors like myself.
Yeah.
And so what they've done is they've gone through the backlist of all of their stable of well-known famous authors, okay, where they've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in advertising and time and effort and all this.
Yeah.
And they're putting their backlist books on Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
And because of brand identification, as soon as a Mike Conley book hits, it's number one. right? Mm-hmm. My first 2 years that I was with Kindle, my ranking was number 73 in mystery thriller suspense. 73. I was in the whole world number 73. Today I'm 2030. Nothing has changed. I've got twice as many books. And so I'm thinking, well, from a business standpoint, what am I doing wrong? I'm not doing anything wrong. The industry is changing. Mm-hmm. We've got to change with it.
I think also if people go out into, you know, if you go do your own book signings and if you sell them on your site, I mean, there's, you know, a lot of things people can do to increase their sales, but they can't, one thing they shouldn't do is be upset if they're not right up there in the ranking, because the ranking does change moment as we're speaking. It's changing.
Oh, every hour.
You know?
Every hour.
Yeah.
It changes.
And I think that's hard. I think it's pitting authors against each other, and I feel that, you know, that could be difficult.
I agree. Now here's where you and I probably differ a little bit. I don't go to book signings anymore because you can sell, you know, 20 books, 50 books, maybe. But at the same time, you save that travel money and wear and tear on yourself. And advertise on Facebook or
I don't do it like I did
Tumblr,
before. But I have children's books,
Tumblr,
so I want to go to schools. You know,
well,
that's
different. In that case, yes. But I'm talking about, you know, the hardcore, hard-boiled, grit-lift guy like me. But the message I have is really don't ever give up. There's room for everybody. It's just that it's like you're in a marathon. You know, you're kind of
elbow
your way in.
Well, I think someone like you, if you were going out and speaking, because you have a lot to offer, and I think that, you know, that's where authors can, you know, really shine, because, you know how to talk to the audience and you can get out there, and, you know, I'm sure Linda and Lisa know that too. Now after doing shows, you know, it's something easier for you than it was before, you know. So I think that those are the things that the libraries and the bookstores are missing out on, live appearances, not just to sell books. So because people really like to hear what authors have to say. Just as the gentleman that called in, he wants to talk to an author. Not on Kindle, he wants to talk to an author. And I think that all three of us, you know, he listened to us, and I think he'll take that into, you know, he'll be, when he's writing, he's going to, I think, be able to do it now because he's heard what other people say to him, not just an article or when he feels bad about himself, because he shouldn't.
Right.
Because it's not about the education, it's about the story. He's lived a life so he can talk and write, you know. I mean, Linda, would you agree on any of that too? You know,
Well, we all had to start somewhere. We all put our first word down on that piece of paper or on the laptop monitor. I mean, I was laughing when Mike was talking about doing the typing. I remember years and years ago, back before PCs, I decided I was going to start writing a book. And I had my old little clunky typewriter. And my problem is I'm such a fast typist that the little arms, when they would come up, they would get tied in a big old knot, you know?
Girls probably don't remember this, but in high school, you had to take 2 years of typing. And the test was this: on the old typewriters, you type out, "Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country," and you do it 100 times. You know, now is the time for all good men. Oh my God! And I,
I remember in English, like in English, what I did in English is I passed notes to my best friend sitting next to me. What I did. That could be why I need editing so badly, because I think I missed all of that.
But, I mean, people need to realize that we started out just like they are. Like that gentleman that called earlier. We started out just like, you know, like I said, this book that I'm currently editing for this man, and it's a good book. I just got a wonderful premise for it. You know, he just needs some help making it shine. And I called Lisa up, and I said, "Lisa," I said, "you know what, all those times you and I felt bad when we went back and looked on some of our first stuff with all the mistakes in it," I go, "you know what, we're making them too." So everybody makes them. So we felt better of ourselves too, you know, because everybody, you know, everybody makes those same greenhorn mistakes, you know.
Well, I think, you know, I think, look at, I think, you know, and, you know, and a lot of the bestsellers, let's, you know, the truth of the matter is the bestsellers, they, if they weren't edited, they'd never, that's it. They, no one would take them. I mean, and that's one of the problems is, you know, a lot of people, see, now before you even send it to a publisher, you have to have the book edited because they don't want to look at it. Okay.
Oh,
and, you know, and, you know, and then they're, what they're going to do is edit it anyway, but you can't send it in the form that it's in. But the problem is that, you know, they're, to get an agent, it's, I mean, I'm a WGA agent, and I can't get any. I have a manager. I did have one, and I'm doing it to myself now because, you know what, it goes faster when you do it yourself. I mean, you know, and if you pick somebody to help you self-publish, like Fidelity has helped me, you know, she formats it, whatever. I have an editor. I pick up my covers. I do this, I, you know, and I market myself. But you have to be willing to put the time in. And, you know, it is, it's not easy, you know, but – you, it's how much you feel that you like what you did. And when you're done with it, you may not like it. And then it, when you read it in a couple months or a year later, you go, oh, this is pretty good. After, you know, you're not, well, nobody's ever that sure that they're, you know, could I have done more? Should I do this? And, you know, the Jack Remick, who's coming on next week, his thing is if you get a bad review, you're not going to do the book again. So just move on, you know. Like move on, you know, and that's one of the things is, you know, and that's why on these shows, I think that people really do learn a lot, you know, when you hear it on demand or whatever, even if somebody says something, it's that one little thing, like what Mike, what you said, branding, I always hate to put my picture out and, you know, I finally did, you know,
oh,
and then when I was listening to you, I'm thinking like, all right, fine, you're right. It's all about me and I have to get rid of some of the stuff I do that says Virginia Templeton. It has to be me because they're going to ultimately buy the book from me, not from Virginia Templeton or anything else I do, you know.
Yeah, exactly
but I heard that on your show. I heard that on Lisa and Linda's show because, and that's, you know, so no matter how much you, a person thinks they know, they can all, there's room for more.
Oh, yeah.
You have to blow your own horn. You have to go out there and put yourself out there, whether you feel comfortable doing that or not, because people need to know who you are. I put my mug on Facebook, you know, a couple of times a day. And I know some people are probably sick of seeing it, but
because of the algorithms and the way it goes, though, I used to hate doing this. And I remember when I first started Red River, I kept saying, why is she putting it Red River, Red River, Red River, Red River everywhere, you know? But I think that's one of the things about World of Ink. After all these years, people know World of Ink, World of Ink. But then I was, for a while, I would say, Virginia, maybe I'm doing it too much. But no, because when people scroll down, they're not scrolling down sometimes enough. So if you think you're putting it out too much, you're probably not because, you know, the different people see it. And because we don't really know how Facebook works these days, and I do know, though, if you put money in your ads, you get all these people show up, you know, that they don't show up. You know, and it wasn't like that. Like 6 years ago, when you put things on Facebook, it was shared by, you know, people that you knew and friends. It's not like that now. So when you see one or two shares, it's not really because people don't see it. They're just either not putting it or they really, you know, so I have been putting ads in to see the difference. And there is oh, my God, it's such a difference of the reach, even for $5.
Exactly.
You know, so
I
think
did
you do one?
I did. I said I did learn a way to get people to pay attention to a post.
Mm-hmm.
You put a picture of a cute little fuzzy puppy or a kitten picture there, and then you say, now that I have your attention, and I have gotten more comments on this.
You know, what I do is I don't do a kitten. I'll put some babe in a bikini with a Dixie flag or something.
There you go. See, now
but,
I got your.
Well, you know what? I put on our blog, I put on William Maltese, who's going to be a guest a couple. I've had him on several times. He's written like 200 books. He's really funny. So he did a book of his mother's recipes with his sister. So I put a recipe for beef stroganoff. So I don't even eat beef stroganoff, but everybody's eating it, and I'm thinking to myself, and I told him, I said, this is, if I put this out, this is what people are really liking. So, I mean, I think that's one of the things about branding. Brand yourself and put yourself out there, but don't keep saying, buy my book, which is why even in my own blog, I changed my blog after, I just changed it today because I get all these ideas every 5 minutes, but I'm doing my blog now on fashion and entertainment and things like that because I'm a little bored myself of looking at myself, my things out there.
Let me put a plug in here for a second.
You're going to be able to put a lot of plugs in. You're going to go ahead.
I've got a book out. It's a how-to book. It's called Bootcamp Marketing 101. Indie Author Bootcamp Marketing 101.
Okay, I'll put that on our blog. Okay.
It's a dollar. And
it's called
it is,
book
it's
marketing.
40,
okay,
40,
wait a minute. Book marketing.
Indie Author
okay,
Bootcamp.
Bootcamp.
Marketing
okay.
101. Okay, and it costs
okay.
99 cents. And
okay.
I gave it away for a while, but
okay,
and what it is 35
can,
or 40 years
for
of my
okay.
experience selling. Okay.
Okay. All right. No, I think it's important. I think it. Those are the, you know, and that's true. Truthfully, those are the books that people really need to have. You know,
absolutely.
You need to listen and watch and see what other people do. And it's not a bad thing because, you know, you do learn. I'm telling you, I do write notes, you know, on my show.
Yeah.
And after this many shows to still be writing notes because there's always something new, you know.
Let me give you a heads up. Figuring out things is another thing. Okay, here are two books that everyone should have in their possession.
Okay.
One is by my friend Owen Parr. He just put out an excellent, excellent book. It's called How to Sell. Just Google Owen Parr, How to Sell. And it's a couple of bucks.
So let's have him on a show. I'll have him on a show if he wants to come on my show.
He's an excellent guy. He's got a good series going. I mean, he's a
great
author.
You two could come on the show, right, Linda? I like a lot of people on my shows. We do have I have shows with six and seven people because I think it's interesting. How to Sell? Okay, and it's Parr.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Owen Parr.
Owen. Okay. And what was the other book?
And then my book, of course.
Okay,
you know,
of course.
Bootcamp 101. Those two books right there.
No, I'm
going to
get them. I'm not. I am going to get them.
75 years of sales experience. And
yeah.
You know what? The guy that sells a used car and a guy that sells rocket ships and a guy that sells what candy bars, whatever, it's all the same principle.
It's sales.
Like five steps. It's sales, yeah. And but people don't know that, especially guys that are sitting off writing a book. And they say, what do I know about selling? Well, you know, the easiest way to do it, don't go spending a lot of money on a course or whatever. It's just real basic books, how to sell.
Well, I actually do sell. I do have a business. It's an electronic business. I sell semiconductors and relays and wire. So much different than people would think. Right. Right.
Semiconductors? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. I actually know this. That was my dad's business. Yes, I actually know what they are and relays and capacitors. And, you know, it's not. And usually a lot of times when people would call and they'd hear a female voice, they go, oh, we got you on the phone. It's not a good thing, you know. But I've learned, you know, that's what I'm saying. You could learn, you know, it's selling, you know, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know.
So,
I
just wanted to put that plug in.
Hey, Mike, I have something to tell you, though. Lisa and I did take your lessons to heart the night we had you on. And remember you said that we needed to put our pictures around more?
I saw that.
Yeah. But I do have one thing I want to tell you about. That picture that I chose that I've been promoting, because you said find one picture, really use it, a lot of stuff like that. Well, the one that I've changed my picture over to, for some reason now on Twitter, I'm getting all these men following me. Can you say why?
I know, that's a problem. You know what? You know why? Because, you know, I confirm people, and then 2 minutes later they go, like, hey, babe, how are you?
Yeah,
and
I know.
I'm out,
why
hey, babe, I'm getting rid of you. Hey, babe, you're gone, you know.
I just got rid of two Facebook stalkers last week.
you just erase all those. I get
these
ones.
That's what I listen to. I go, I'm putting it all everywhere. I'm going like, okay, instead of putting my little kids' books, I'm putting my page on.
Yeah, the one that sent me the private message saying he was having dreams about me.
Those haven't happened yet. Hopefully.
Marcia, I get these ones that say, hi, what do you do for a living? Oh gosh. Okay, that's a throwaway. So there are some crazies out there. You just kind of filter through those.
This has been really fun. All right, so Linda, I really thank you for coming on. I miss Lisa to come on, and both of you, I want you to come on again. And I'll try to get you on with Virginia too. It's fun, you know, because I heard your show, and I wish you well. And you know, you're on your way there, and it's fun. You like it. So do you want to just say where they can hear you again before we end the show? I'm going to talk to Mike for a minute and let him say all his promos.
Okay, yeah. Our show is, of course, on Blog Talk Radio. It's called Journey Into the Night. And we're on Thursday evenings, 10 p.m. Central. We have some great guests coming up February. We're going to have four of the top romance cover models on. One of them is going to be Jimmy Thomas. Come on, ladies. You got to call in and talk to Jimmy. And,
well, I have a lot of people. I'll send me the post because I have a lot of the erotic and romance people on. I actually, Naughty Nights people, they have three shows booked that, you know, and they, half the time I don't even know what they're talking about. It's very sexual, very erotic, and I'm, you know, I'll be posting that for them.
Okay, and then in March we're doing March Movie Madness. We have an actor, James Preston Rogers, who just had a movie release called "This A Masked Saint." He's been on a bunch of stuff. He was in Highlander and a bunch of other movies.
Oh, Highlander! Yeah, that's good. All right,
yeah.
That's exciting.
I'm not Highlander. Outlander. Sorry, wrong movie. Outlander. The one about the
Outlanders, because Virginia talks about them a lot. I know, see, because they're doing that.
Yeah,
that was a book that became that became a series out there.
Yeah, so we have James. He's going to be on. We have. Let's see, Randall Dark, he's a producer, makes movies and all that, and
just send me the links also, send me and I'll put them out in case, because sometimes I don't get to see things, so
okay, and we have,
send them directly to me.
The last of March, we have the screenwriter who wrote Two and Bad Boys and other movies.
That's great.
So we've got some great lineup and lots of authors.
It's exciting. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I want to come
back. It really is.
I want to be back on.
Well, we want you on when you get done with your tour. We want you to tell us about all the fun you had.
I will. it's my big ball and chain tour.
Yes, we told you that on the show. We wanted you back after you went on your tour, and we want you to tell all the fun, exciting things that happened.
Do you do your own pictures, you know, your banners, and do you do
graphics.
Your own?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Graphics.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's another cost savings, you know, to learn to do it yourself. But,
you're doing a great job. All right, so everybody listen to Linda and Lisa's show Thursday night. And I'll be listening too, okay? And just send me the links of whatever you want, and I'll put them out, because sometimes it's true, though, I don't see certain things.
Well, this coming Thursday, we're having Indies Unlimited on there, the group from Indies Unlimited. It's an organization of indie authors that are out there helping other indie authors.
Wow.
So if any of you first people, call in, and you can get some more ideas and help on getting your books going, and they're there for moral support, you know, when the publishing world kind of kicks you in the teeth, indie authors kind of help each other out, and that's what's so good about being an
indie. I think that's a good thing. Yeah, I think they do. I do. That's what, listen, I've done this for years, you know, and I think that really, I think that's one of the things that we all like to do because, you know, not all of us, but, you know, most of us like to help other, well, I shouldn't even say most of us, some of us, I'll just say some of us, because I do think.
Mike is a great representative. Mike is a great representative for indie authors. He's a wonderful cheerleader, and he's great.
Yes, he's great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Linda, for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Bye,
okay.
Mom.
Oh, you're welcome. It was very nice to speak
bye-bye.
With you, and
I
hope to come on your show. I know you know, give me some dates, and I'll come on your show. Yeah, I'm up at night, so I can, you know, that's fine for me.
Okay. Sounds like fun. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 Okay, all right. Now, that was fun listening to that caller in. Yes.
I enjoyed that night I was on their show.
Yeah, they were fun. All right, you know, and I want you to also, you know, you're going to come on again. So, you know, we'll end the show now, but I want you to tell everybody where they can find you.
Just a few
places. I have it actually on the show post of, you know, your Amazon, and I have some of your things. But, you know, I want you to just say where they can find you.
The easiest way, really, is just Google my name. Mike
Pettit.
And pages show up, and there'll be 15 or 20 things, you know, my blog and Twitter and whatever, my author page, all that type of thing.
And I'm going to get the book also.
Yeah. I mean, anyone that's trying to sell, if they don't know
and
how to sell,
audios, no, seriously, you know, and because I'm going to have you on again, and I'll be speaking of you, because I usually speak of my guests on other shows, but the audio books, I mean, they're good, you know, your audio books, you'll feel like it's, even though it's not your voice, you'll feel like it's you talking, and I mean, that's really a connection, that's why you connected, and I think, you know, when you're saying about first person and not to worry about the tenses and everything, because I do think, in my opinion, that you connect with an author that does first person, because it just is a connection you can't get any other way, I don't think.
Right, exactly, yeah. You know, I'm on audible.com. I've got a dozen books on Audible, different series and so forth. I'm in Creative Space, paperbacks. I stick mostly with Amazon because I really like Amazon. I like what they've done for the indie authors. They're just good people to work with, and I enjoy it. They still have some work to do as far as communicating between their own groups, like Creative Space and Kindle, you know, linking up your book with your ebook. But they're getting there.
I think they're changing too, you know, and they have a lot of work to do because they know they do. They have some issues that they're trying to work out because there's a lot of people just putting anything out there, and they have to, I've heard that they're going to be trying to take more of an, I mean, they have so many people putting books on there that, you know, I mean, they have no way of knowing until somebody reads it and said, what's wrong with this book and why is it out?
Yeah.
You know, but it's not Amazon's fault. I mean, they gave people a place to put it, and their responsibility of the author is to get it edited.
Exactly. You know, and I like I say, I stick with Amazon. I promote them every chance I get.
Yeah.
You know, I'm making a nice money.
I like Amazon. I do. I think most people, it's familiar to most people.
Uh-huh.
And that's what, you know, people like familiarity. You know, you can say there's other sites, but it's not like Amazon. Everybody seems to know Amazon.
My experience with the other sites is that they're more cumbersome. They're very difficult to download and to format, and everyone's different. But no, I like Amazon, so. But as far as getting in touch with me, you know, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Tumblr, Pinterest. I've got some just now started. I don't know what the value of that's going to be, but I'm going to start.
Well, I think it is a value. I think it is. It's just an extra to have because I think, you know, it's a visual, and I think people like it. You know, I think that, and there's at first. It was just like people say, oh, women are just on that, but that's not true. Men are on it.
No,
and
no.
Readers
men
are on it.
Absolutely.
Readers.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, too, that I want to bring up is these shows that I go to. I go to at least one a month around the country, and my purpose is to see who's out there, listen to what's being talked about, you know, see and be seen, as they say.
I think authors have to pay attention to what is going on there. If they can't get out of town, they probably should just be looking around and seeing what other people are doing and listening to radio shows. You know, like I saw Lisa's, you know, and Linda, you know, I think, you know, you can always learn something, you know, and it really, for me, I think blog talk, I mean, listening to the people that, you know, a lot of times it's a very entertaining and also very informative way to learn things.
It is, and it's still it's a new thing to people, and they're kind of leery.
Yeah.
They're not sure how it works or, you know, it's just like old-time radio. You just sit there and you listen. You dial in and you listen, and there's some good programming. I mean, you can listen
to it. Oh, it's great. I mean, there really is, you know, and Red River, they're still, I'm on Red River next week, next Wednesday afternoon with Delaney, and I think, you know, she'd probably, you know, I'm going to talk, she knows about you now because she posted, but she was with Red River, and she has a really good show. You know, a lot of these people I know because, you know, we've done shows on Red River. After 600 or 700 shows, whatever, we get to know each other.
It's good to be on these shows too, because you
it's really good PR for people.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is.
You know, one of the hidden benefits is that, for example, on the Linda and Lisa show that I was on, my book sales jumped the next few days after the show.
Yeah.
So I mean, so there's a payout there too. So I encourage newcomers to go on the radio blogs. I mean, all of them. No matter who it is.
I think it's a really good way. I think it's a really good way for people to, you know, whether you're on a show and you sell books, it's just Google picks it up very fast. And certainly after, with World of Ink, we've done so many shows, it picks it up really fast. And the same with Red River, because we've all been doing shows for a long time on Blog Talk, you know, and we've met people, so many. I've met people from doing shows that I never would have met ever. And, you know, when you're a host and the station is World of Ink is mine, you know, when I heard you, I said, this is a person that will be very good, and you haven't, you know, you haven't disappointed, because you do know a lot of things. So I want you to come on again, and I hope you will. And I hope sometimes that if you see something that you might want to come on the show, just let me know, you know, and if you have something to promote, you're always welcome to, you know. I mean, I love return guests.
Can I give a shout out? Can I give a shout out to a few people?
Absolutely.
I have a core of author friends that I rely on, and we talk to each other and bounce ideas off each other. But here are my crew. And I love these guys. The first one is Casey Ward, my co-writer. Owen Parr, who's a dynamite author. Jessica Vance, out on the West Coast. She's writing a dynamite series. Jack Watts is up in Atlanta. Mike Farisee, I mean, this guy's got 20 books out.
He's coming on. I emailed him. I know who that is. Yes, he's going to come on after he comes back. Yeah, he'll be on.
Savannah Black, she lives on a boat down in Tampa and writes books. I mean, so you need to have a core of friends you can talk to and bounce things off of. Well, that's my crew. That's my crew.
And, you know, if you ever, because as I told you before, I do like to have people group shows. So if you ever want to have several of them on, we'll have a whole show with your crew. Because I think it's so much fun when you know each other on a show. I had a show on with a few people, and they called in and they said, well, you guys must have a great time because you live in the same area. I go, no, we don't. We don't live in Virginia. And I. Virginia's in Utah, and I'm in Chicago. So, you know, but yeah, I mean, we all get to know each other, and I think that the radio definitely brings people together close. So it's a good thing.
But see, here's rule number five again.
Okay.
This rule is for new authors: don't spend a lot of time talking to other authors unless it's constructive. Don't get on a message and say, "Poor us, we can't do this."
Well, that's why we have the shows, to make people keep doing it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm a big promoter for people, and that's why I like to have people on that actually, you know, can tell them and help them and show them that, you know, what can be done. And the indie author is doing great. So whatever people think, it's not true, because the indies are doing really well.
I'm living an example of that. I mean, you can make
a
good living, but you have to work at it. You know, it's a full-time gig. You know, you have to love it. And I love what I'm doing.
I know, I do too. That you'd have to love it. That's true. You know, I mean, if you don't love it, you can't, because this takes so much to do, but it's so much fun. You know, I mean, I think
it is.
After all these shows, I'm still having fun, so I guess it's okay. All right, thank you again. All right, and thank you all for listening, and we hope that Mike that was listening to the show and asked some questions, that he continues on. And I hope he will. I think he got some help tonight, so I think he will be writing and feeling better about it.
Marcia, thanks a lot for having me on the show.
Thank you. Bye. Good night, everybody.
I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.